Chapter 4. What Frightened the Fair Gwen. Freak's not in my room for 10 minutes before he sets me straight on the Fair Gwen. He's able to hump down the stairs by himself, except it makes him sort of out of breath. You can hear him wheezing, or I guess you'd call it panting, like a dog does on a hot day. He gets into my room, and I close the bulkhead door, and he goes, "Cool, you get to live down here all by yourself?" I eat upstairs with Grim and Graham. Freak works himself up onto the foot of my bed and uses a pillow to make himself more comfortable. It's pretty dim down here, only the daylight from one basement window, but it catches him just right and makes his eyes shine. "Graham must be your grandmother," he says. Graham would be, I suppose, a sobriquet for your grandfather based on his demeanor. I go, "Huh?" Freak grins and pushes back his yellow hair and he goes, "Pardon my vocabulary. Sobriquet means nickname and demeanor means expression. I merely postulated that you call your grandfather Grim because he's grim." "Postulate means I know," I say, which is a lie, except for I can guess what it means. Figure out that way. "So how come you call your mom Fair Gwen of Air? Is that a nickname?" Freak is shaking his head. I can see he's trying not to let on that he's laughing inside. "Guinevere," he finally says, catching his breath. "The Fair Guinevere from the King of Arthur. You know King Arthur, right?" I shrug. "The only King Arthur I know is the brand of flour Graham uses, and if I say that, I'll really sound like a butthead." He goes, "My mom name is Gwen, so sometimes I call her the Fair Guinevere, or Fair Gwen. King Arthur is the first king of England, way back when there were still dragons and monsters in the world. Arthur was this wimpy little kid, an orphan, and there was this magic sword stuck in a big stone, okay? The old king had died, and whoever could pull the sword from the stone proved he was the next king. All these big, tough dudes came from all over to yank at the sword, and they couldn't budge it. One day, this wimpy little kid tried, and when nobody was looking, and the sword slipped out like it was stuck in butter." "So he was the king, this little kid?" Freak nods. He's really into this story. He's making shapes in the air with his hands. This is the first time for me hearing Freak really talk. And right away, I know one thing. When he's talking, you can't take your eyes off of him. His hands are moving, and it's like he's really seeing it. This story about an old king. Arthur's magical sword is called Excalibur, and Fair Guinevere is a pretty girl who becomes his queen. Fair in those days meant the same as beautiful does now. Anyhow, Arthur got bored just sitting around, so he invited all the knights of England to come and live in the castle. They all ate supper at this round table, which is why they were called the Knights of the Round Table. Every now and then, King Arthur would send them off on a special secret mission, which in the old days they called a quest. They had to slay dragons and monsters and evil knights. I assume you know what a knight wears into battle. I think so, but I like hearing Freak talk, so I go, "Better tell me." And that's when I find out why he's so interested in some clanky old knight. Because Freak really lights up, and he goes, "The knights were like the first human version of robots. They wore this metal armor to protect them and make them invincible. When I get my stuff unpacked, I will show you the pictures. It's pretty amazing, really, that hundreds of years before they had computers, they were already attempting to exceed the design limitations of the human body." I go, "Huh?" And Freak sort of chuckles to himself, like he expected me to go, "Huh?" And he says, "The design limitations of the human body. You know, like we're not bulletproof and we can't crush rocks with our bare hands. And if we touch a hot stove, we get burned. King Arthur wanted to improve his men, so he made them armor-plated. Then he programmed them to go out and do these quests, slay the dragons and so on, which is sort of how they program robots right now." I go, "I thought there weren't really any robots, just in the movies." Boy, does that make his eyes blaze. Like, whoa, Talk about laser beams. He's like fuming, so upset. He can hardly talk. Finally, he gets control of himself and he goes, I suppose I must make allowance for your ignorance. On the subject of robots, you are clearly misinformed. Robots are not just in the movies. Robotics, the science of designing and building functional robots, is a huge industry. There are thousands of robot units presently in use, millions of them. They don't look like the robots you see in the movies, of course, because they're designed according to function. Many robotic devices are, in fact, sophisticated assembly units, machines to put together cars and trucks and computers. For an instance, the space shuttle has a robot arm. Right, I say. I saw that on TV. Freak sighs and rolls his eyes. Ah, yes, he says. Television, the opiate of the masses. For about the 11th time, I go, huh? Opiate, a drug, he says. Massive. That means large and heavy. Thus, television is the drug of fatheads, opiate of the masses. You don't have a TV. Of course I have a television, he says. How else could I watch Star Trek? Matter of fact, I watch tons of tube, but I also read tons of books, so I can figure out what is true and what is fake, which isn't always easy. Books are like truth serum. If you don't read, you can't figure out what is real. This time I don't say hum because I might have to explain how I'm LD, and reading books is the last thing I want to do. Right after trimming my toenails with a lawnmower, gargling nails, eating worms for breakfast. Of course, Freak has probably already guessed I'm learning disabled because he's had a look around around my room and he isn't exactly at the public library. I'll lend you some of my books, he says. Cool, I say, like it's just what I've been waiting for. Another chance to prove that I'm a butthead. Then we both hear at the same time this voice calling his name, and it's sounding real worried. The fair, Gwen, he says. I gotta beam out of here. I go up, and I open the bulkhead door, and his mother is in the backyard, and she's looking at the little red wagon. She catches sight of me coming out of the down under, and it's like somebody shot her, like she's scared out of her mind. Kevin, she says, I'm looking for a little boy. Freak is huffing and puffing as he humps himself up the stairs, and the fair Gwen grabs Freak and puts him in the wagon, and I swear she almost runs home. Like if she doesn't get away quick, something real bad's gonna happen. Freak is in the wagon and he's trying to look back at me, trying to shrug his shoulder and let me know he doesn't understand what got into the fair Gwen. But I know. It's pretty simple, really. She's scared of me.